You are listening to the INCJ podcast, Conversations about International Criminal Justice.
Yes, so thank you for inviting us here. And my name is Alma-Leena Suomala, and I work for the Criminal Sanctions Agency. I worked here since 2010. And then we have here Tuomas Hanhikangas. Tuomas, could you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Tuomas Hanhikangas. I'm a senior criminal sanctions officer here at Sukeva Prison at northeastern part of Finland. I work here as an sort of like a head of security, and pleased to be here and joining this conversation.
Okay, and then we have Pia Puolakka, who is with us now. So could you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, hello, and thank you for inviting me to this meeting. My name is Pia Puolakka, and I work for the Criminal Sanctions Agency Central Administration in Finland, and I'm the project manager of the Smart Prison Project. Nice to meet you all.
Nice to meet you all, too. And I also, I forgot to say where I work, I have worked in an assessment center which is located in Hämeenlinna prison, which is this the smart prison that we are talking about. And Pia, could you tell us first, like, what is this smart prison? What does it mean?
We started the smart prison project in 2018. And the idea was to build Finland's first smart prison, which means a prison where every prisoner has a personal cell device in cell for the use of digital services inside prison and in a restricted way also to outside. And this is what we have now done. The prison has opened and the smart system was implemented in the beginning of March this year, and at the same time we've been developing digital services in all our units which have joint use laptops in every prison and probation office. But of course we also hope to extend this cell device model to all our closed units.
Okay. And Tuomas, you are working in very like traditional prison and not smart prison. So how do you see this development? What do you think about it?
Yeah, it would be sort of like inviting kind of funny to call our prison as a dumb prison instead of a smart prison. Well, no. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting, I believe, at the same office, what used to be Pia's office back in some years ago or something like that. As a matter of fact, I am representing this sort of like a very old, stylish, I would say that we are like a relique, even in the terms of Finnish prisons. We are old, quite big in our terms, 181 beds here for the prisoners. I believe that we are the fourth biggest prison in Finland. And this used to be like an agricultural-related prison. So basically, it was the deal back in then was the clock chimes in the morning, everybody get up, have a breakfast, and then line up and go to work. There used to be sort of like lots of different sort of like agricultural activities going on. Cattle, you know, like we had a forest industry here. They were burning bricks for the sort of like they had this sort of like a fabricating thing here. And of course, all the surroundings and all the systems and even this sort of like mindset, you know, like in a state of mind was focused that sort of like an agricultural and sort of like a working attitude. And it's challenging nowadays because it sort of like represents world which doesn't exist anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And I do totally agree that this sort of like a smart prison thing is it's more like what we should aim to. But at the same time, still we sort of like old facilities, we sort of like old way of thinking and even old working methods are up and they are, you know, like they are in use, like in everyday use. So it's sort of like a very challenging and a very interesting at the same time.
Mm.
just to keep it brief, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and you still have some computers for prisoners that they can use, but they are not in the cells, right?
Mm, yeah, yeah. What we do have is we have like an, I believe, 4 stations. Well, yeah, and basically they are inmates are Skyping, prisoners are Skyping, using Skype connections to their relatives and families and so on, and they are also allowed to make bank transactions and all this sort of like a very basic stuff, like and making these applications for the Kela, like an what is governmental benefit system and so on. But it's always demanding somebody to guide them, somebody to escort them from their cell or cell block to a certain like an different segregated room for this sort of like on a laptop. Basically, it's laptop computer and a chair and a table. So it's very. It's demanding quite much as it consumes labor because you have to have an officer to do it, officer escorting them, and basically Skype calls are also surveillanced by the officer, and then it's taking quite much toll of man labor from everyday process. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And Pia, is this something that is better in like? In those cell desktops that they don't have to have like guards when prisoners are dealing with their like everyday matters, like bank accounts or something. Is that something that they can do from the cell or what they can exactly do?
They can use the cell, from the cell device, they can use the same whitelist services. Restricted internet services that are also on every unit's whitelisted joint use laptops. But what helps prisoner is that the cell device is directly in the cell. So it's personal use and doesn't need any assistance from prison staff. But also in the units that have joint use laptops, prison staff doesn't have to surveil the use. Because the internet is whitelisted, it's restricted, and every prisoner applies the permission to use the laptop from prison director. And if he has the permission from prison director, there is no need for staff to have any surveillance on the use. In this way, they are secured devices in all units.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
Pia, can I have a question for this? Sorry, Alma-Lena.
It's okay.
Yes.
Can I be happy? I should know this thing, but let's pretend that, and I'm just asking this for the public. Of course, I do know. How does this permission process goes? You know, is it? I know that the authorities, the prison governor is authorized to sort of like release this prison this permission, but is it sort of like an everyday and normal process to everybody, or is it sort of like an made like individually, you know? So, in other words, do you automatically get in this sort of like a permission when you are admitted to Hämeenlinna prison, which is sort of like a smart prison at the moment?
Everybody has to apply the permission from prison director, but if there is not any specific reason why not to give the permission, then the permission should be given. But in the paper, they have to give some reasons for what they are using this device for, especially in the units that have the joint use computers. So they have to tell that they need it, for example, for social reasons or educational, vocational, or other relevant services use. And then the prison director makes the decision based on this application.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Is there some like restrictions that the prisoner can't get access? What can be the like reasons that they are not allowed to use the restricted internet?
Sorry, can you ask again that?
Is there like some reasons that a prisoner can't get the internet? Like, as you said first, that there can be some cases when the internet can't be given to the prisoner.
Security reasons. If there is there can be varied. I don't know about all the reasons that might be behind it, but if there has been some suspicious behavior or there's a risk that the prisoner would misuse the laptop somehow, then this is the. It might be so that he doesn't get the permission.
Okay. Do you have any?
Sorry, yes. Almalin. Again, one more small question about this subject. Do you have any figures, any numbers? How many permissions are, you know, like granted, and how many are sort of like denied? In a person.
We don't keep this kind of record, so I don't have.
So. So is it possible now, like for example, do like some studies or like education from the cell, like online studies or something, online courses or?
Yes, of course, it's possible, and all services related to studies are quite popular among prisoners, and we have our own Moodle platform for studies inside prison. If you want to take courses of basic education or high school education.
Yeah, and that's also very important because it's a very important thing in a reintegration in the society when prisoners come back to the society.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so we have this like those cell desktops and the use of internet is like one approach of the smart prison. Is there anything else like that could like describe it? What is the smart prison like?
You mean what is the smart prison like besides the cell device?
Yeah. Is there something else?
In Hämeenlinna, we also have some extra services that we don't have in other units. We have, for example, devices for virtual reality testing. Okay. This is one of the services, and compared to the joint use laptops, there's online canteen also on the device, so they can make their purchases inside prison directly from the cell device. And then besides the restricted internet, the system has other features for the communication inside prison. So prisoners can, for example, send their requests to prison staff in electronic form. They can also communicate with the chat messages to staff. And there's calendar in the system that they can use. There's also a material bank that contains forms and other important material related to rehabilitation, some handbooks, something to read or study during your prison time. And then this whitelisted websites, also office tools for studying on the laptop, and some storage device also for the same purpose. And then we are using also the video calls between staff members inside prison and prisoners. They can also use these video calls in the system, and they can also take outside calls from to their relatives or some our partners who are doing rehabilitative work with prisoners or other officials that might have to be involved with prisoners' important things.
Okay, yeah, that sounds very good because, like, from my perspective, where when I work in the assessment center and I do risk and needs assessment and sentence plan for prisoners, and in traditional prisons, prisoners can send like some paper messages to the officers. But now I think it's a huge development that is very good thing. Nowadays that prisoners can send electronic messages. So how do you see, Tuomas, this point that prisoners can send messages via laptop?
Well, basically, everything sounds very good, you know. This sort of like relates very much to this sort of like a principle of normality, which is sort of like one of the key cornerstones of our way of doing prison work here in Finland and in the Nordic countries, And I believe that that is something, that is one thing, what is called like a sort of like Nordic exceptionalism in the first place, you know. Just we like to think that our correctional facilities and prisons are so much related to the surrounding social life as possible, you know. That's of course, and this can and this will be one huge sort of like an achievement or leap towards that sort of direction. But cynicist in me, which lives strongly in me as well, because I'm a well. I don't know if maybe I was born with or something, maybe 20 years in the service has, you know, like developed it, whatever. But I'm just thinking that these sort of like modern solutions, are they bringing like an modern problems or sort of like an, these sort of like a modern solutions come with an modern problems or like an modern fallacies? I don't know if you guys are familiar with an this sort of like a meaning of this phrase of black swans. Sort of like a problem which occurs, and we don't even know that sort of like a thing exists before we see it, you know. And I do believe, unfortunately, and also at the same time, very realistically, and then as long as there is this sort of like a new, new sort of like a things, new procedures, new machines, whatever. As soon as somebody invents it, as soon somebody will try to exploit it in a way or other, you know. Of course, there might be some sort of like an, which might be also only in my brain, but an, there is a huge possibility to also misuse this system, even through these white-listed sort of internet pages and so on. I know that there has been lots of testing, you know, and lots of precautions have been done, but still. And then, other thing is what is actually true at the moment, that our penal code, which was sort of like a refreshment in 2006, doesn't actually sort of like a follow this, because it, I believe that it's sort of like a more like a modern problem in many areas of life, that we sort of like a technological sort of like our like a development goes so fast that our legislation can sort of like a catch up. For example, with banking activities at the moment, our penal code says, prison code says that an inmate is sort of like prisoner is allowed to transfer money or other, you know, like an merchandise goods to the outside of prison with a certified cause and with a permission. And at the moment, we do not, as we sort of like an internet banking and whatever is allowed from a cell, we do not actually have any sort of like a chance to follow up any sort of like on these transactions and so on. Well, I know what the law is changing now, and they are sort of like again having this new mechanism for detecting this sort of like a very unusual sort of like a withdrawals or like a cash exchanges and so on. But still, what I'm just saying in brief that this sounds very good, and I certainly think that we should like follow these sort of like development steps, because we do not have to, and we are not allowed to stay at the 70s or 80s century. But another thing is that we have to be very cautious at the same time about these sort of like new black swans, which might grow in some places which we don't even see at the moment yet, you know. Cautious, but let's say what I'm thinking about this sort of like a thing is I'm very cautious, but at the same time I'm very positive, in a very caring or very sort of like a very I'm a positive but cautious at the same time.
Okay, so are these familiar thoughts to you when
bit
you have
positive,
been?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's good. So how do you think, Pia, about these concerns that Tuomas just talked about?
There's a lot of possibilities, but we also have to... yes, do you hear my voice now?
Yes, I can hear you.
So I was saying that I'm very familiar with this idea that there's a lot of possibilities at the same time and at the same time some risks. And when we started to implement the system, the first thing we were thinking about was the security of the system. And that's why we, of course, audited the system four times, actually, and we take into good consideration all data security and data protection issues. And we know that if there's a skilled prisoner, he can possibly misuse the system. It's always possible. It's possible with every system if you are enough skilled. But at the moment, I think we are on a quite good level to start. And of course, as I said, we still have the process that you have to individually ask for the permission to use the system anyway. So if there are something that we are suspicious of, we can deny the internet permission or we can take the device away. It's also possible for us to have remote surveillance by surveilling the log information that comes from the laptops. So there are many ways to take this into consideration.
Okay, yeah, thank you. So is there some challenges that we have faced so far, like when implementing this prison system? Like some practical challenges, for example, or some ideological challenges or...
In prison environment, the first challenge is the security because we are always first very security oriented. So that's why bringing new systems like this is always a challenge.
Yeah. Is there something that you have had like some challenge, but you have like managed it somehow already, like any examples or?
I think now that we have been developing the system and we have good feedback from prisoners, and I think little by little the attitude from the staff side has started to be more positive. So they also start to see the benefits that can be that we can get by using this kind of system, that the prisoners can more independently use the services. It doesn't take prison staff's time to take care of these things instead of asking the staff member to make the video call to social insurance office. The prisoner can themselves have that call from the cell device.
Yeah.
And so these kind of, if the system for prisoners, the smart system, also makes somehow smoother the processes that staff has, this is always a good benefit to show.
Yeah, and I can see all the benefits of this, but I can also recognize those challenges that Tuomas is representing. But when you talked about this, that staff member of like staff of the prison can now see the benefits. So have you faced a lot of like resistance in the first place when you have started this? Because this is, as you said, this is a huge change that prisoners can use. More internet, for example.
Yes, this is a change, definitely. And I think if we would keep that some kind of a record, what Tuomas was referring to, I think we could see that the use of these services has gone up, especially during this pandemic year. This pandemic year was a big change for the digital services in prison system too. So I think the benefits will be shown in time, and we can already see that it has benefited prisoners a lot.
I can totally agree as well, you know, from after like being a CEO for 20 years now, I totally agree, and I was kind of, you know, like a smiling when I heard Pia saying, because whenever staff finds that this in even some way eases my personal task or chore, like a choice, everyday chores, they all I believe that they start to agree that this is very good, you know. If it prevents me from walking to a place or another and is called inmate to this and there, you know, I believe that many people, you know, like, you know, tend to agree that, well, this is good anyway, you know, it saves my steps. And the other thing is, like, especially here in Sukeva prison, we are quite remote. We are well, in the middle of the nowhere, as you can almost like say. I believe that staff generally here thinks that we sort of like an Skype calls to relatives are much, you know, like in a way are much better, quite beneficial, even both to like a facility and even both to prisoners. That allows sort of like gives prisoners opportunities to speak to their families, girlfriends, partners, whatever, you know, like quite more often, because most of the people do have a quite long way to get here and back, you know, just to attend like a 140 minutes meet at Saturday, you have to drive like 500 kilometers. It's not so convenient, and it's not benefiting anybody. But have an opportunity to chat and have a sort of like video call to your like on the dearest ones, like in a almost like a daily, on daily basis, is very good. And other thing is that the staff is very much, you know, like kind of considering these video calls much more safer way to meet, arrange these meetings as well. Because if you like think like a conjugal visits, what we do have here, or even like visits face-to-face in Finland, face-to-face in prison, you know, there's always this opportunity to misuse those opportunities, misuse those meetings as well to like mm-hmm. To try to push drugs or illegal business is much more easier when you have these sort of like physical meetings. But when you, it's quite hard to misuse this sort of like a platform. And also when it benefits inmates as well, it's sort of like an insurance their possibilities to meet and meet their families, you know, and maybe it gives them possibility to keep up the relationship during the sentence time. It's very good, you know. And I believe that this also relates to a question what we have in the chat box down there. About this about this principle of normality, you know, because of I believe that it's better to you, to Alma-Lena, to read that question first, you know.
We have just got one question, and it's that Rob Canton Nordic commitment to normality or normalization makes so much sense, but many countries resist this perhaps because they don't think prisons should be normal. They want them to be punitive. And yeah, this is very familiar thought as well. So do you, Tuomas or Pia, do you have some answers or thoughts on this one?
Well, I can start, because, you know. This touches very much my thesis, what I did to Cambridge like 1 year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are not... Well, we do have a strong heritage of being non-punitive, and we are tolerant and in a certain way, and we do have this sort of like a very neutral or very sort of like an lame or tame prison system. What is sort of like an underlined as an the umbrella goes, the umbrella which under which we are is sort of like this Nordic exceptionalism and so on, but. We do not have a so sharp punitive talk. We haven't had that, but I believe that we are following the rest of this Europeanization, or how do you spell it, hard word, but sort of like we are more and more connecting to the Europe, and we are more and more getting these sort of like an ideas of any sort of like ideas and talks from Anglophone countries, which tend to be much more punitive than we are. So we are following that.
Something happened.
Something happened with Tuomas.
Yeah. Tuomas is unmuted. Tuomas, can you hear us? Or Rob, can you hear us? Or Tan?
I think, maybe you move over to Pia. Maybe Pia can answer the question.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
Pia, to rejoin us, hopefully. Yeah.
The normality principle question.
Why is it important? So you can answer. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, about the question of normality that came in the YouTube chat. So I think Nordic countries are quite advanced in their prison system compared to many other countries. So for us, we've had a long time this principle of normality. because what we have seen and what is also based on scientific studies is that this kind of attitude works better with prisoners than the old traditioned way. So more strict sentences or more isolation doesn't help. It may make things worse, considering recidivism too. So yes, I'm quite proud that actually in Nordic countries and in Finland especially, we are quite open with also with the modern technology, and that we have been able to implement it in the prisons and provide prisoners a secured contact to outside services during their sentence, during their prison time. This is very, very important.
Yeah, I agree also. And it's like, I think like we think that it's the reintegration in the society because every prisoner is releasing at some point. So it's very important that they have those skills and all the things that help them to live a life without crime in the future. So I think, we strengthen that very much. And I think, is Tuomas back now?
Hello. Can you hear me again? For a reason or another, I got kicked out, you know. Maybe I went too political or something. And
yeah, maybe.
as I was saying, we haven't been such a punitive country. We are having these sort of small echoes about with more and more empowering punitive talk. But I don't know, we are not even far like these Anglophone countries at the moment. And I believe that the vast majority of Finnish people will accept this sort of like an idea that the prisoners should also have this sort of like opportunity to chat with their loved ones from a cell and have this sort of like a normal banking activities or normal sort of like applications or whatever via these sort of like a new devices and new technologies, as long as we are like an as long as we are facilitating them with an care and a certain sort of like a security level. I believe so.
Yeah, that's important. So I'm looking at the time. We have 5 more minutes. So I'm thinking like whether there's any other questions or comments or like, should we just keep talking?
Melina, I've got a question, if that's okay.
Okay, that's okay.
Lovely. It's really interesting looking at Rob Canton's comment because I've spent some time in prison as well. And it was really interesting as a journalist to observe in my time that I was in prison is the fact that the people that make the rules, they want it to be more punitive and not normal, not like home. Mm. Whereas in fact, what I actually saw and talking to a lot of people in there is you realise that actually structure, food every day, calmness, you know, no kind of loud noise, no stress and stuff, actually is not normal for those people. And in fact, coming into an environment where those things are actually benefits as part of the rehabilitation, and maybe thinking a bit like our colleagues we were talking to earlier in Romania, where talking about things like you know, sowing the seeds of positivity that someone could actually have this life going forward. If you've come from a life of chaos, prison actually can actually be seen as quite a positive environment. As Thomas seen that in his time as well.
Yeah, and also I believe that the people who know prison life, the people who have been in prison, either like been as a prisoners or have been working in prison, they tend not to be as punitive as a vast majority of people who don't know anything about prison life, you know, because there is this sort of like a need for continuity in prison. This is sort of not like a kiosk or like a business where you can just like a shut down if you don't like it, you know. They are living, you know, like there are individuals and there are people, you know, living here in these conditions every day, and you cannot push your thing as far as there is no. You always have to open that door next day again, you know, and you have to sort of like fix your life, either if you are a prisoner or a prison officer. Usually we have to cope each other here day by day, you know, and that's one big a sort of like a difference in thinking if you compare sort of like a people who know prison life and people who doesn't know it, prison life, or just have seen the television or movies or whatever, you know? There's a big difference.
And Pia, from your experience with the Smart Prison, I mean, it sounds like a wonderful opportunity actually to create that normalization with the necessary security, obviously, of contact with family, particularly from what Thomas was saying, where the prison where he is a long way away from other people. Certainly when in my experience, where people were maybe put into prison, which was a long way away from their families, particularly if they had children to come and visit. As long as the security restrictions are there, and I completely understand that, this is actually quite a positive way of doing it. We've got a very innovative project in the UK called Storybook Dads, for example, which I think has expanded from there, which, you know, dads reading stories and then learning some computer skills to make the front cover of the CD so their children can hear their voice at night. That is an isolated version, whereas in fact, smart prisons and could actually mean that there's a contact with the dad. I think from my own experience with my own children and talking to other people while I was inside, actually the children are probably one of the few ways you're actually going to get a person to change their life around, because it's the impact that you have on other people that's important.
Yes, of course. And that's one of the most used video call services that you can get contact to your own family members and your children. And that's what we are providing in the Smart Prison. And that's what we've already provided from the joint use workstations that prisoners have been using for years, Skype meetings with families. And it's especially good for prisoners who are foreigners, because their families are not in Finland. They are in some other country. Or then even inside Finland, the distances might be quite long and all the families don't have money to travel for face-to-face meetings. It's also a question. It's also a financial question. So this is a good opportunity to keep the contact alive, even if you are in prison. And of course, if you want to combine some elements, like you told about the prisoners reading stories to their children, this is also something we have been testing, and we have quite active NGOs in Finland who are very much aware of the situation of prisoners' children and prisoners' children's rights to meet their parents. So this is important question.
Cool. And yeah. Almaine, Thomas, over to you.
As a matter of fact, we do have this sort of like a project going on, which Pia described. I believe that it's named something like a story time, bedtime stories or whatever, but it's basically the prisoner reads this sort of like an good night sleep tale to. We are using this sort of like a smart tablets, you know, and when we sort of like an it's not so smart system, but we basically we are just when copying the file and sending with the USB stick to the family, but still the principle is the same.
Almelina, can I ask you a final question about smart prisons, maybe? Things to do with things like, you know, employment and education. I mean, I remember when I was in, it was sort of 10, 12 years ago, I think it was, you had the computer, but it wasn't, there was no kind of internet access. So it was all sort of, you know, MSN Carta encyclopedia. It's amazing what you can find on there when you go looking. So it was very much in isolation, whereas now a lot of the jobs and stuff with a lot of these people, if we're going to get ex-offenders to turn their lives around, we've got to get them to be thinking about employment, not just the way that they've been making money creatively. So therefore, skills like smart prisons and stuff, obviously you've got opportunities to, you know, access maybe using software, particular digital skills and stuff like that, and learning things. Is that something that you're using your smart prison system for as well?
Yes. And we tried. Yeah, Pia, you can actually answer to this one if you want.
No, please, you first.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, we have those like goals that we try to learn and like teach prisoners how to use the digital services, and in the risk and needs assessment, we also like ask about them, like if there is some risk needs of learning digital skills, that, and we trying to consider them in their sentence plan, and they can also practice them in like kind of normal prison, not in smart prison. But I think in the future, when this smart prison system, if we get more of those things, it's getting better. And if you have now something you can say.
No, basically the same what you said. Yeah. This is also a question that we need to pay attention more in the future. So the lack of digital skills is a risk for problems in the modern society. So you can be digitally marginalized if you don't have enough skills to take care of your business in online digital world. And this is what happens with many prisoners. First of all, you have to have the proper devices, but then also the proper skills to use these services. And that's what we ask in the assessment process. And we also have digital skills courses in prisons nowadays, a little bit more than before.
I think that's one of the key things. I remember in my experience, again, it would have been a traditional prison that Thomas would probably recognise. You're looking at the move as a mass to education or to employment or to the medical centre. And of course, as soon as there were any kind of issues within the prison system, all of the lockdown meant that you couldn't get to education, so you missed out, or you couldn't get to employment, so you missed out. Whereas in fact, using the smart way of thinking in a traditional setting is actually, it's not just about smart because it's new technology or a new building. It's the fact that you're thinking of, if someone is going to be isolated now for that morning and they can't move, then at least then they're still able to be able to access. And it actually leads to things like being a lot calmer, because most of the time I used to see people getting upset. And I was very lucky to work in the library for my final 3 weeks, was the fact that actually the library was probably the calmest place, because they were getting access to the things they wanted to take back to themselves. And so not being able to get to the library would have been quite difficult, whereas in fact, you smart systems and stuff, being able to access things, all the things that then got delivered to you. I think that's not about being lazy or making it soft. What you're actually doing is actually saying to people, there's still punishment because you can't go out. But it's about the fact that, you know, it's these systems. So I think it's very inspiring listening to all three of you talking. So thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And yeah, thank you, Pia and Tuomas.
Thank you.
Rob. Thank you. It was nice to chat with you guys.
You have been listening to the INCJ podcast, conversations about international criminal justice. To find out more, go to our website at criminaljusticenetwork.net or follow us on Twitter at INTCJ Network.